COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease may include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you are experiencing these symptoms and have come into contact or are in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and/or consult with a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.
Fry, can we talk about our relationship?
Of course. Our relationship is the best thing in my life, so I'm sure I'll enjoy talking about it with you.
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, beginning of week 3 of this. At this point, it's got to be a national quarantine, virtually worldwide quarantine. And joining me for the first time in a while is, some would say, better half. That includes me. Please welcome back to the show, Miss Sherry Bass.
Hello.
Welcome back. It's been a while.
It's been a long while.
Well, as far as they're concerned, it's been a while.
I know.
You've seen me pretty constantly. But yes. For everybody else, yeah, it's been a little while. I was actually looking back because I thought, you know, there was a point where you were on the show pretty regularly while it was still active up until, well, between 2015 and 2016. Do you have any idea how many times you're on the show?
I don't. I lost track.
In the first 100, well, actually, it's not even the first 100 episodes. Because the Skid Row era started at episode 32. So you were actually out of, what would that be, 68 episodes? You were on 20 of them.
Wow, get out.
I know. If I counted right. And
so
I think
I'm the
I
Paula Abdul to your RuPaul's Drag Race, basically.
I don't know what any of that means, but let's say yes.
That means I've been on.
I'm not arguing with you, especially on mic. So not going to do it. I'm going to say yes. Whatever that analogy is right.
Yes, that means I've been on a lot. It feels good.
So today will be part one of what we're calling the Cookies and Cream Quarantine. And for a little bit of context, there was a little while back in 2015, 2016, probably more 2016, when Sherry and I were talking about maybe doing a podcast where we can discuss different things with regard to race. I mean, we became a couple at the end of 2016, so we thought, well, there's a lot to talk about between being an interracial couple or just a lot of tension and things going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And we kind of decided not to do that, but we always thought Cookies and Cream was a funny way to refer to ourselves. So. Mm-hmm. So here we are. This is Cookies and Cream Quarantine, part one.
Yeah.
And part two will be Friday. So we're trapped in this quarantine as a couple. And we've lived together for 9 months. Mm-hmm. You transplanted.
I did.
To New Jersey.
I did.
Just to be with me.
Oh.
I know. What a mistake.
Ain't that love?
I guess. So now, I mean, who knew that this is where we were going to be 9 months in? But we're getting a lot of each other because as a result of the coronavirus outbreak, you and I are both out of work.
Yes.
So we're home all the time. We're kind of on the opposite end of basically everybody else I talk to so far.
Yeah.
Because Ryan's working from home. Jack and his wife are working from home.
Mm-hmm.
Sean is still working from home. So we're the only ones where both of us are not working. So,
yes, this is very true.
But we kind of wanted to talk about dealing with this as a couple because we're both at home. We're seeing each other all the time. And that hasn't really been something that's come up yet in everyone I've talked to. I mean, in as much as how are you handling it? Have you killed each other yet? All that. It's been interesting, to say the least.
It has been. I mean, you know, it's one thing. There's so much that has happened to me in 2019 that I was like, okay, this is a fresh start. And it still is a fresh start in many ways for me. So, yeah, I've been transitioning not only from the move, I've also been transitioning in life, period. I had a big loss last year, which was the loss of my dad to pancreatic cancer. And then after that, I moved across the country and I had to adjust to that. And then after adjusting to that, I had to adjust to a new career for me, which was in teaching. It's something that I've grown to love over the last 2 years. When I left entertainment, I decided to go back into education and realize that this can be a career for me, as long as with other creative paths I do want to do in the future as well. But having to restart with that, I feel like I just got my feet on the ground and then boom.
Yeah, and now this.
Yeah,
COVID. All this time, not, which, well, I mean, we've talked about it personally, but I'm sure everybody would agree that having to deal with any of these things on their own is a lot. The death of a parent, mm-hmm. moving to a new place, which, I mean, you'd visited at least. It wasn't, you weren't completely fresh.
Right. I had visited maybe 4 times before this.
And also starting a new job. Starting a new job in a new place and mourning the loss of a parent. Any of those things on their own are stressful enough.
Yeah.
But for you, they overlapped within, let's say 6 months, because you came here in the summer and the school year didn't start until September. But even still, again, any of those things, just they're difficult enough for anybody to deal with. So for you to have to handle all that and then throw in the added bonus of having to live with me full time, that's a whole other headache. Yeah, just keep laughing.
No, I mean, I laugh in a good way.
Right. But it's one thing to, okay, you're working on this and your path in education, and since you've been here, has been very straightforward. You've taken the steps that you needed to take to get where you are. Mm-hmm. And you finally started to find your footing, get on some solid ground, and now this.
Yeah. And ain't life funny.
Yeah. And because the position you were in, you unfortunately were laid off.
Yes.
So here we are. And now, especially in your case, it went from, when is it they were originally, it was April something, they originally said they were going to bring the schools back. Because they were out 2 weeks ago.
Well, it was supposed to be earlier than that. I was working in a district not too far from here as a long-term sub, and basically they had said, oh, we might close. That was the Tuesday before everything kind of shut down. And it was just kind of rumors in the, you know, going around in the hallways and everything. And then Thursday was like, oh, we are definitely might close. They'll probably let us know by tomorrow. And I was like, okay.
And then Friday the 13th,
it was like, woke up and it felt kind of off and I wasn't really sure why. And I go in the hallways for door duty to make sure the kids are safely coming in. And they're like, yep, we're closing. Everything's coming to a halt. And I was like, oh, okay. So the first question that popped up in my head was, do I still have a job after this? You know, so I was like running through the hallways, out of breath, looking for the principal. And I was just like, I know I just started this position. Am I going to be able to work from home? They're like, oh yeah, you know, no worries about it. And I was like, okay, woo. And then it became the whole chaos of, well, now I have to prep everything for the students, get passwords and online programs and everything else that I can use. All while I'm away.
Aside from your duties for the day.
Aside from the duties for the day.
You had to prep for an open-ended amount of time when you were going to be teaching these kids remotely.
Absolutely. I mean, at first they were just trying to say March 30th was the deadline. That's pretty much what they were giving us. And then they were like, well, the office staff will still be here and you all can come in if needed. And I was like, okay. And then that changed by Monday. Then it was, oh, we're definitely closing, and then all office staff will pretty much be gone by Wednesday, so good luck. And I was like, okay. And I got the call that Tuesday also, that right after I sent all my emails to the parents just letting them know that I will be helping their students and be a resource or support, that I was unfortunately going to have to be laid off. And I kind of took a deep breath and then freaked out a little bit and then had to kind of woosaw my way back in. So as of now, everybody doesn't know. We're all kind of up in the air, but even the education system. I technically work for multiple districts, and one of the biggest districts in New Jersey, there's no date. There's definitely no definite date as to when we may or may not come back. They're just kind of gauging it every 2 weeks at this point. But we're just all kind of saying the same thing. We don't expect school to
resume for the year at this point.
Maybe
right?
not. I mean, it's kind of up in the air. You have to think of consider things that happen in normal school days, such as testing would be a thing right now. That was a huge thing that was impacted, was testing for the state. They're no longer doing that. You have proms, you have school events, you have all these things that we were basically prepping for, literally, within the last 2 weeks. So it's kind of crazy that everything's just kind of been at a halt.
Yeah, and it's nothing anybody knows how to deal with. I mean, even the administrators. And you were stressed, you know, after getting laid off. You worked from home 2 days.
Oh, heck yeah.
And then you got a call from, it was a superintendent, right, who called you?
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, that's given me a bit of a complex with my friends who are working from home, because I'm thinking, are a lot of these jobs going to be going down to more bare-bones staff? Even if it's a temporary layoff, I'm concerned because I don't know that there's going to be the volume of work to support. I mean, you know, one of our friends just got a promotion as well. So I thought, is that still happening? So with your experience, and right away, literally the first week of all this, I thought, oh man, I hope everybody's going to come out of this. I mean, aside from being concerned for us and our bills and our responsibilities and your well-being, just because it was a shock. It was a surprise because you thought you were going to be able to work from home this whole time. So at this point, it looks like they might not. I mean, certain states have already taken that step. New Mexico, I have some cousins in New Mexico. They've already stop school for the year. It's not going to happen. I mean, considering basically any events through April are canceled and into May, there's an anticipation that this is going to carry on for that long. And even if, for the sake of example, we came out of this, just to put an easy date on it, June 1st, it's everybody's going to resume normal activity. This is contained. It's safe for kind of to start transitioning back. And one of the first things that comes back at school, what are they going to do if it's June already? Because testing has been missed, and there's a lot. I mean, the kids are, they are getting assignments from home, but they're not going to be where they should be towards the end of the school, in the last month of the school year, 3 weeks or so. There's no way they can,
well,
they
let
can
me
play
tell
catch
you
up
why
with
the
it.
Whole situation, I mean, everybody's situation pretty much sucks right now, but the education system right now is very sucky, because you have to take in consideration those who do not have technology at home. A lot of them were sent packets, and I'm not saying in the school district I was currently working for, but in Newark, for instance, 70% I read don't have computers at home. So it's like, what do you do? You know, they're pretty much not getting instruction. I mean, there are tools online that you can help have games such as Splash Math or ABC Mouse or things like that, but not many people or concerned about that. Some people have multiple children.
Well, is there even a way for them to gauge if the kids have been using these apps? I mean, you can say, oh, you can do this to educate kids, but is there any way to
in
even know?
In certain districts, they do. So certain districts are doing online teaching, whether it's through the wonderful Google Classroom, where teachers pretty much are teaching a normal school day, just like at home on Skype, like a Zoom or a Skype kind of situation.
Right.
But I even think that's so like too much. Some people are sending loads and loads of work throughout the week. And we have to take into consideration that, yeah, it is normally a school week. But at the same time, we are going through something that has impacted us emotionally as well. Like, these kids have to also come to terms with that there's a pandemic going on and they're stuck at home too. So I just think that it's a lot to say, okay, we're going to pretend like everything's normal and continue to give these kids loads and loads of work on top of the stress of daily life right now.
Right.
Which is dealing with this pandemic.
And nobody knows. It's not like we've been through this drill before. Everybody knows how to explain it to kids. We don't. Our parents don't. I mean, something like that hasn't happened.
Right. Absolutely.
In modern history.
Yeah, so it affects everyone, and especially children, if not the children first, you know. So there's that, and there's also some kids don't have homes. Some kids don't get meals during the day. You know, there, thank goodness there are some districts that are still providing meals for their children, but it's hard out here. It really is for everybody. And it's just kind of crazy to see how out of touch or how unprepared we were for something like this.
I mean, that's one of the things that's going to come out of this, at least now having, I mean, like any experience anybody has, once you've been through it, you can at least prepare for what happens next time. So when it comes to supplies, every company and school and whatever is going to have way more hand sanitizer and paper products and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. if something like this does happen again, because since it hasn't, we don't know. So this will be a learning experience historically for if it happens again, which it could very well. It's not unheard of, but it's a challenge for everybody. And it's, you know, I joked with Ryan because, you know, their daughter's at home, which she's not old enough to be in school yet anyway. Mm-hmm. But dealing with the child at home all day, and if you have multiple kids and you're not used to that.
Yeah, you ain't worried about no damn math or Lexia, whatever. Yeah. You know, I don't blame people right now. We're trying to survive, literally. That's the word.
Yeah, and if the parents are working from home, too, they may not be available to watch the kids as much as the kids are needed to.
Right.
I mean, it's a weird... we can kind of do a deeper dive into that, but let's switch over a little bit to kind of how
sure.
we've been affected by other things. The big thing we're missing out on in April as a result of this, my big Christmas gift for you, was seeing Elton John,
which,
like all concerts, everything's been postponed, delayed, no new dates yet. The hope is that it's the fall, but I even wonder how that's going to play out because so many tours and concert dates have been delayed that if things are up and running by the fall, are there going to be enough venues to accommodate? Where's everybody going to go? There are only so many venues, but at the same time, I'm sure something's going to be worked out because so many people are losing money mm-hmm. when it comes to this. I mean, that's the only thing we definitely had tickets for. We were going to go see the band Kix
yes.
in April. That's been pushed back to June. We'll see if that happens. We wanted to go see The Darkness in May. They're
yeah.
playing in New York, which we didn't get tickets for yet. And that hasn't even been canceled yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be. And even if it wasn't, we wouldn't be going.
Right.
Because nobody's getting in and out of New York, which is even more stunning how much of a lockdown that really is, where the infection rate is so high
mm-hmm.
that they're kind of stuck. I mean, we're near Bergen County, which is the area that seems to be most affected right
yes.
now, probably
yeah.
because of people who commute into the city.
Absolutely.
That seems to be the most likely scenario with all this. And the further south you head in Jersey, not as much, not as affected. But where we are, yeah, it is a more, it's an area that has a higher percentage of infections. Anyway, we were bummed because we haven't been to the, I've discussed this before, but we hadn't been to the movie since Star Wars in December. And there must have been 6-7 movies we said, we need to go see that, and now we're not, which is a very, very small sacrifice in the scheme of things, but it is something we do. We would go to the movies twice a month.
Yeah,
probably.
We go at least twice a month. Was Star Wars really the last movie
yeah.
that we saw together? I know I saw Like a Boss.
No, I'm so sorry I missed that.
yeah,
you went to see that. You were going to go see Birds of Prey for a laugh.
Yeah.
Which was February. And that didn't pan out.
Mm-mm.
Like a Boss, yeah, that was January. So yeah, the last movie we went to, that's true. You've been to the movies since me, more recently than I have.
Mm-hmm. But I was just like, oh, we'll have time. And then, yeah, that just kind
and
of...
And now everything, on. We're going to end up renting everything. Which is still, at least that's an option. I mean, a lot of stuff's getting an early release digitally, and we have pretty much all the streaming platforms that are available, so... We'll have a lot of options, but even still, I mean, we're definitely going to be renting stuff just to kind of play catch up. And even that's important because as much as people are saying, oh, you know, I want it to come to streaming and all these discussions now, people just want Mulan and Black Widow to come to Disney Plus. Well, those aren't going to make any money. You may get people signing up.
Right. And all the people
those
who
are,
worked hard and
yeah.
everything. Yeah. It's unrealistic to say that they want these big, huge blockbuster films to all of a sudden go on Disney Plus.
I think the idea of putting them up for rental, even though that's being criticized by some other studios and some theater chains, but at the same time, what are they going to do? I think that the fact that Universal made movies available to rent for $19.99, I think that was a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's less than what you would have paid had you gone to the theater 90% of the time, or maybe not, and depending what area of the country you live in. Where we are here and where we used to go to the movies in California, definitely cheaper, but comparable enough where if we were to go see the movies in the theater, it's okay,
well,
20
exactly.
bucks.
Well, exactly. Well, here's the thing. There's pros and cons to it because, yes, we don't have a family, but I'm thinking of the common family man, right, who has to take his kids to go see something like Trolls. Which no disrespect to Trolls. I'm just saying.
It's not for us. It's a total kids movie.
It's a total kids movie, right? So you have the dad who has maybe three kids plus the kid's friend who decided to come along. That's your $19.99 ticket plus the $13.99 per child. Then you have to get the snacks and you have to, you know, so you're already spending over $100 basically to go see that movie. So would I rather go? I think one of the people we watched, Stuckman, was talking about.
Yeah, Chris Stuckman on YouTube.
Yeah. So would I rather pay the $19.99 at home and I already have my snacks and stuff? Absolutely. You know, the cons about that is I really do feel like big films like that, like Black Widow or Wonder Woman, who they also push back, WB push back, should wait because there's nothing like seeing films like that on the big screen. I can watch Black Widow for the first time.
I wouldn't want to.
Yeah,
I
mean, if that's what DVR.
If that's what it came to, then okay. But I wouldn't want to watch Black Widow at home for the first time.
Right.
Because it's a big movie. It's a popcorn movie. You want to go see it in the theater.
Exactly. I want the Dolby, like, jolting my butt as...
as we're sitting in the theater.
As we're sitting in the theater.
But it is. And not just because we go see the Marvel movie, which we've seen almost all of them in the last... at least 5 years,
yeah,
probably. And I wouldn't want that to be how I would see it anyway. Now, we might be in the minority, but these days, considering people are only flocking to the theater, since everyone's so used to watching everything at home, people are only going to the theater to see event movies. So it does make sense, because people are going to turn out to see Black Widow. Black Widow comes out in October, people are going to show up.
Yeah.
As long as everything's reopened and we're back to some semblance of normal by then yeah. And if you have to wait, that's cool. But using the Trolls example, a movie that would have made, that would have had, let's say, 5 ticket sales, just for the sake of example, is now getting maybe 2 ticket sales worth of profit getting added to its tally. So there are still hits being taken, but I think everybody's kind of in minimized the loss mode. I mean, even the new CEO of Disney, I was reading about that earlier today, had sent an email to stockholders, we don't know where things are going to go. We don't know how profitable things are going to be in this during this quarter. I think that's what everybody's trying to do is minimize the loss. I mean, Warner Brothers doesn't want to release Wonder Woman for $19.99.
Right, absolutely.
At home for you to watch, you know, on demand. And I get it. These movies cost a lot of money. And if you want to keep seeing movies like this, guess what? They're going to have to make money. They can't keep losing money. And this is a very narrow time frame we're in and a very unique situation. But I'm with you. I wouldn't want to see those movies at home anyway. So I hope everybody waits and we get to see them on a theater screen soon.
Right.
Maybe in a couple of months.
But, you know, during this time as a couple, I am glad that we do have some downtime to watch things that we said we were going to watch, but we hadn't. For instance, you introduced me to Lucky Logan the other night, and that was something that I wanted to watch for a while.
Logan Lucky, yeah.
Oh, Logan. Yeah, for Logan Lucky, sorry.
I was ready for you to call it Happy Hogan. Just
yeah.
You got a habit of...
I do reversing, twist words.
Switching names with other things.
A lot.
And actually did refer to Happy Hogan in, I don't remember what movie, as Logan Lucky, right around the time Logan Lucky was
Iron Man.
The
yeah.
Well, yeah, we were talking about Iron Man 3 or something, and you said Logan Lucky. Or like, why wasn't Logan Lucky in Infinity War? I forget what it was, but you said it, and I thought, wow.
That's my brain.
That's a little bit of a joke.
But we watched that. I introduced you to Contagion. You said it was a boot. You thought it was a bootleg outbreak.
Well, no, hang on. Let me say, everybody's watching Contagion. Uh-huh. A lot of people are because it's the closest to what's happening now.
Absolutely.
And yeah, in 2011, I don't think I know anybody who did go see it because to us it looked like, oh, this is Outbreak. This is another version of Outbreak, which at that point was 15 years old, 16 years old. And I haven't seen Outbreak in a while, but it's something I've been meaning to watch anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to recommend it because it's on Netflix. So if you haven't seen it, I mean, word's probably out. I'm sure everybody's watching stuff. If people are watching Contagion,
yeah,
which is currently on Cinemax. That's how we watched it. But if people are renting Contagion, well, if you have a Netflix account, check out Outbreak. I remember Outbreak being a lot of fun.
It is like, fun.
Considering what it is. But that does need to be rewatched. But Contagion, it was hard to watch as someone who never seen it before. It was difficult to watch objectively because it's close to what we're dealing with now. They used the term social distancing, which mm-hmm. is something nobody heard of until a couple of weeks ago. I mean,
right,
in general.
Right.
Now it's become something that's used on a daily basis. It's become a phrase that everybody's using. But as far as infections and having to stay at home and what's going on, now it hasn't gone as crazy as things get in Contagion. There definitely isn't that.
Right.
But there is the...
It's not the... It's... It is crazy, though, just kind of see the similarities of how much touching a class or someone coughing can make a big effect, though. That's some real life-ish right there.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's not... That's more... I forget what they modeled after, because I was reading up on the movie after we watched it. I forget what virus they modeled it after, but it's something
H1N1.
Else.
H1N1.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Did swine flu? Yeah, swine flu, I guess, happened in like 2009 or 10.
Mm-hmm. I remember because I was working at Disneyland at the time, and 3 of my friends caught swine flu.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, people say that people were freaked out during that time. I remember being scared, but not like this. And I don't know if it's because when you're younger, you have this sense of invincibility, or it's just that this is more serious, or the cases are more serious. I don't know. I'm trying to gauge that in my head.
I've been trying to think of that too. Cause I was working in a big box store at the time. And there was only one person who worked in the store mm-hmm. who got the swine flu and was out for, I think, a week or maybe two, and then was back. And that was kind of it. But I don't remember there being the panic or even the infection rate around here, mm-hmm. the rate of people who were, you know, the number of people rather who were getting it. So, yeah, even that seemed like a blip on the screen compared to this.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely, as much as I did enjoy Contagion, it was a very well-made movie. I thought, wow, this is a little too true to life. Had I seen it 2 years ago, I would have been able to watch it as a movie and say, wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But now I'm watching it thinking, ugh. I mean, that virus, you know, the fictitious virus in that is much more, it was more like Ebola, I want to say.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of, if to relate it to something. And same, I think that's what Outbreak, I think it was based on an Ebola-like virus that happened somewhere in, I want to say South America, something mm-hmm. like that, the book that Outbreak was kind of sort of based on. But that was way more, there was higher mortality, it was like 25% of like mortality rate or something in Contagion. Not nearly that bad with coronavirus, but it's enough to be taken seriously.
Absolutely.
But our first thing, I think, that affected us the most within the last week is, and we can't really explain it, is sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know why. We haven't been sleeping well, and it's not that we're stressed. We're safe. Everyone we know is safe. We don't know anybody who's been diagnosed with it.
Thank God.
So, yeah. So it's not that we're stressed about that, and we're watching the news and paying attention to what's being said on social media and everything. Less and less. We're kind of geared a lot more toward entertainment. For whatever reason, we've both been having trouble sleeping. And are up into the much later than we want to be.
3 hours of sleeping the morning. Later.
Yeah, it's not fun. But part of it is, even if we were working, we'd be on some sort of schedule. And right now we're not. Everything's open-ended. And we don't know when we're getting back to one. So it's very easy to stay up and watch TV till 4 in the morning. Because before you realize it, I mean, everybody's making the joke about, wow, March is the longest year I've ever been alive. Or what was it? Mm-hmm. It was the first day I think you were home, which would have been, what, March 16th, the first day of the show? And there was a meme that was floating around that I showed you that we both laughed at. It was, man, Monday was a hell of a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Yeah, everything's kind of relative. So I think we both lost track of where we are during the day. And what day. I mean, I'd even remember like, oh, Monday, right. And frankly, that's why the show is going up late, because of being on a weird sleep schedule. And also why it's going to be a little bit short. But Friday, we're going to talk about what it is we've been watching. We got some recommendations. We've watched some new movies back when this was still novel. We're working our way through some shows. So we're going to talk about the fun stuff that we're doing during the quarantine on Friday's episode. And frankly, better to have a shorter show today where we did cover a lot of things and then blow our wad today and have nothing to talk about on Friday. So thank you very much for sitting in once again, Sherry.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you'll be back with me on Friday. You can follow the show at Cape Pod on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Sherry online.
On Twitter or Instagram. At SherryBaby09.
And you can follow me at Chris Abalo on Twitter, Chris Sells Out on Instagram. And we'll hopefully keep you entertained on there until Friday's show. So, for now, and for Sherry Bass, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.
After all, our love isn't any different from yours, except it's hotter, because I'm involved.